Nation, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, good morning and welcome. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. We also have a special guest here. Miss Macy, you and I've worked together a long time at this point, but whenever I have a guest on, we always start out with kind of like the Marvel origin story. So everybody knows you are a superhero. So kind of tell us how you got here and give us a little background so everybody knows who's talking with them today.
Well, I started almost 15 years ago.
Wow.
As a part-time counter help, mm-hmm. just answering the phones, and have kind of worked my way up through service and management.
Yep.
And manage the Fort Street location currently.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm out and helping the guys in Republic.
And we need help out there, don't we?
Oh, we are a sad lot today.
Everybody had a good time over the holidays weekend, so I hope everybody was safe out there. But we're all kind of getting the swing of things after the festivities, I guess. So what did you do before cars? I guess that would be a good place to start.
I worked at a grocery store for 9 years.
That's and quite a shift. What got you into the car game? Just fate, I guess?
No.
The car game drug you in?
I retired from there due to reasons I was just burned out on.
Sure.
It. And so I got to thinking about, well, I need to do something that's kind of recession-proof.
Mm-hmm.
I am a motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
I love cars.
Yep.
And everybody needs their car fixed.
Oh, yeah.
It's
not getting any easier, is it?
No, it's not.
So that kind of sparks another question for me. You and I have been doing this 15 years, pretty much solid. What are your thoughts about how the industry's changed since you started? And where do you in the world do you think it's going? I guess would be my follow-up question.
So the days of the backyard mechanic mm-hmm. are going away. You really have to have technical training and excellent scan tools to work on these things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a matter of easy peasy.
Yeah.
No. There's so many things that could cause the exact same symptom that mm-hmm. something was going on with 20 years ago that is not going to fix it now.
Well, and the reason that, you know, I think as a company, which is much bigger than just you or I, we have focused so much on the diagnostic side of things is because it's getting so challenging to be correct, that it's this part and this is the proper procedure. And you know, when I was a kid, I mean, you could kind of guess and be right a good part of the time. Guessing now is very expensive.
It is very expensive, and you know, we get some pushback on that, and it is a matter of proving that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to put that part on your car if we don't have to put
yep.
that part on your car.
Exactly.
We want to put the right part on your car.
Well, and sometimes it's not parts that we're putting on the cars now. We're either fixing some kind of electrical issue or a programming and software issue, so it's not even necessarily always a hard part replacement anymore.
Oh, we had somebody call on Acquire about a transmission on a GM product, and it specifically says on GM's site,
mm-hmm.
do not replace until you flushed it.
Yeah.
It solved their problem by spending $300
yeah.
on a flush.
And the alternative is, you know, a lot of folks maybe get concerned about paying checkout time or testing or diagnostic time, whatever you want to call it. But that is some of the most valuable time spent on your vehicle is being correct. Versus, oh, yeah, it needs transmission or it needs a XYZ or whatever.
Yeah, we're in the business of fixing your car, mm-hmm. not in just selling you parts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think folks, so Macy, what do you think? You think folks are understanding the value of that more now, or you think we're still kind of having some headwinds that, you know, the expectation, I think, at least from my opinion, is we got this magic eight ball, you know, the parts store, the big box parts store does a free diag. And if you can't pick up on the sarcasm there, just it's implied, we'll put it that way. Do you think people are understanding the weight of that because it's burned them more, or what are your thoughts?
Possibly. The free code scan at the parts store, sure, that's a great way to tell you what system you have on out of parameter
mm-hmm.
that is it going to leave me on the side of the road?
Yeah.
You know, I had a lady call, and she was very frustrated with me. She wanted to know what it would cost to fix a misfire on cylinder four.
That's a big question.
That's a big question. Anything from free to you need a motor.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that. That's why we do testing.
Well, and the code scan doesn't have the capability to tell you why it's misfiring.
Exactly. And in this case, she never did come in, but it could have been anything as simple as a coil boot popped off
mm-hmm.
to we have a cylinder down.
Sure. And I think the expectation, or even some of the marketing that's out there, that really drives me up a wall. You know, even some of the stuff you can plug into the connector under the dash and they'll monitor your vehicle while it's being driven and let you know if anything's wrong. It's great in theory, and their marketing markets it more than what it is, because there's no way, the technology's just not there yet.
No, like, it's not.
If the ability to do that worked, that'd be awesome. It would make our jobs a whole lot easier.
Absolutely.
But we continue, and we'll talk about a case study probably here, maybe in the next segment that you ran into recently, but we continue to have vehicles that have been serviced and taken care of, or quote unquote, actually diagnosed, which I use that term very loosely as well, that were wrong, and people have thrown tremendous amounts of money sometimes for a very simple, easy fix, or they put a lot of money trying to fix a mechanical issue. You know, they threw a tune-up at it, they threw coils at it, they threw injectors at it, they threw whatever you can throw at it that's not part of the internal mechanical combustion, and that ended up being the root problem. So they spent all that money on a bad engine. How often do you see that?
I see that. I see Dodges are notorious for this, that they'll throw thousands of dollars at coils and plugs and boots. And and the driver was out of the ECM for cylinder number three.
Or it's got a mechanical issue in the cylinder heads.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other
low
thing.
Low compression, yeah.
Yeah. And we have testing equipment that requires a skilled set of hands to apply or work on those vehicles that is not going to happen just by plugging into the diagnostic connector under the dash.
No, and when we have a misfire, we start with relative compression.
Oh, yeah.
Let's find out if you've got an engine to work with.
Exactly. And that way, yes, we do charge for that, but it's so much cheaper, and I don't use that word very often, but it's so much cheaper to do that testing on the front side than it is to shotgun all these parts at whatever vehicle you own, hoping that you're going to fix it. And then at the end of it, you're broke and you still got a broken car.
And we see it all the time that somebody has tried to put a Band-Aid on something when it wasn't fixable.
And, you know, that's really what got me on the diagnostic path. I always wanted to be a good technician. You got to witness a lot of that growth of the training and experience over the last, you know, getting close to two decades at this point. And it was that other technicians would shotgun parts at it. And then a lot of times it ended up at me. I was the buck stops here guy that it's got to be fixed.
I remember that.
And thankfully, I still have obviously all that experience, but our technicians have really, we've attracted higher quality technicians. I'm basically a product of the company investing in our technical training and equipment to be able to market and, you know, show up every day and say, hey, we fix cars. And there's a huge difference in that versus people that work on cars or, you know, practice such as the medical field and such as that. You know, we really put in a lot of effort. Now, do we get 100% right all the time? No, I don't want anybody out there listening to think that. But we take that super seriously, and we meet those head on instead of putting our head in the sand.
Well, and we now have enough very talented technicians that we've got a great network. Mm-hmm. So when that problem child does arise, we've got access to other minds that perhaps process it a little differently and try something else out. And sometimes it's a community effort.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so thankful for that. Can you think of what we were doing, you know, say 12 years ago? You know, you had been with the company a few years compared to what it is we do now.
There's just no comparison. It is completely different. Yeah. We're talking about drivability. Now, brakes are brakes and exhaust is exhaust. But when we start talking about drivability, it is day and night different from what we were doing 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And we're not slowing down. That's the other thing that I love about our company is that, you know, we're not just playing this day by day. We're looking at this year by year, long-term outlook, and how do we get to where we need to go to take care of our customers like we need to? That's a huge thing. We do need to step into a break, and we're going to do that now. When we come back, we're going to kind of open up a little can of worms and give you some background on some case studies and some things that we've been seeing in the shops. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back. Sarah Dustin and Miss Macy here. Macy and I have worked together a long time. I want to get to your story, Macy, here in just a second, but I want to kind of tap Sarah in here for a minute. You had some car problems.
I did. Thankfully, it wasn't my own car.
That's true.
Yes.
You were riding in another's car.
Yeah, it was like probably a week ago now. We went down to Monette. We had a client meeting, and we took the KSGF vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the KSGF car, it doesn't get taken too terribly often. We take it for remotes and things like that, but oftentimes it just sets.
Well, and if I may, I think part of this, and it just kind of occurred to me recently, a vehicle that sits is almost harder on the systems than a vehicle that's got like a lot of miles. And with the last 3-year event, it really didn't get used even less than normal.
Right.
And so that takes its toll. And I think maybe that's what's got you in this situation. But I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
I had that thought here.
No, well, and the reason I was mentioning that it set quite a bit is because oftentimes whenever something catastrophic happens, we miss those signs because we're not driving it every day. And then typically we have multiple drivers because it's a fleet vehicle.
Yeah.
So maybe I notice something and forget to mention it, or Nick forgets to mention it, or Huey, whoever's driving it. So anyways, we were going down to Monette, and we noticed that whenever we started braking, that it had kind of this shake to it, like just a small one. But by the time that we got back from Monette, we were about Republic, it was violently shaking. The hood was shaking.
Wow.
The steering wheel was shaking. It was dangerous and absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So we ended up taking it over to the shop off of Sunset.
Yep.
And you immediately walked out and was like, you cannot drive this.
No.
And unfortunately, I don't have a sense of smell. But you were like, can you smell this? And I'm like, no, I can't. But apparently it was...
So I guess I didn't put two and two together that day, because it was a very pungent hot brake smell.
Yeah.
And you had no... It didn't register at all.
No.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Yeah, I didn't. Well,
apparently it did.
Apparently it did. I didn't smell it, though. So I didn't have a sense of smell. But when you walked out, you were like, can you not smell that? It literally smells like the car is about to catch fire.
Yeah.
And you ended up getting it into the shop, took a look at it. And what was it?
So the left front brake caliper and hose, which is basically, for a simple idea, is it squeezes on the brake pads.
Okay.
And then the brake pads are on either side of the rotor, and then friction happens and you slow your vehicle down. Well, that should release anytime you get off of the brakes. And in your all's case, it didn't. And so it was just smoking the brakes off this thing, even as you guys were accelerating at 60 miles an hour or whatever. It had a horrible brake drag on it. So what could and will happen if you kept driving it is eventually it boils the brake fluid. There's a boiling point. And if there's ever air bubbles or any kind of a bubble inside the brake system, the hydraulics no longer work and it starts as brake fade, and you're pushing on the brakes and it's going a little farther and going a little farther. And then eventually it just boils and you really don't have any brakes at all.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
So what causes that?
So a lot of times sitting is one of the biggest things. They need to be worked, if you will. There's two caliper slide pins in there, the caliper piston, etc. And over time they get seized where they're at, and then you can apply force and overcome that seized portion, but it basically clamps it on there and stays, and then it just burns the brakes off of it. And then a little while later, it might release, or it burns that material or creates a void. Then you hit the brakes again and it's clamped on again. It's just a very vicious cycle. That, and if the vehicle's not been serviced in a regular manner. So brake fluid exchange is something that I really see a lot of value in. I'm not necessarily a flush everything guy, but brakes, I have techs that have worked for us. They've got 300,000-400,000 miles. They've done normal brake services, and I've never had to put calipers or hoses on their vehicles because the moisture content stayed out of the brake fluid or stayed low and worked out and lasted.
Is this a relatively common repair?
It is.
Okay.
Yes. So typical life expectancy on hydraulic components are about 80,000 miles. So if you haven't serviced them, 80 to 120 is really where I see a lot of that stuff start to rear its ugly head. If they've been serviced, like I said, I can see them go 200,000-400,000 miles, but I don't see people do that kind of service very often. Typically, they drive it until something breaks. The byproduct of this as well is it ruined the rotor. It ruined the brake pads. If it wasn't a hose-related issue, the heat ruined the hose. I've seen it ruin wheel bearings because so much heat in there. So, you know, the collateral damage, if you will, is a big part of what blows up the repair costs and the repair effort that's got to be put out there because of the byproduct of heat.
I am so glad that I brought it to the shop.
I am as well.
When I'm really called, glad I called.
Yeah, I was like, hey, what's going on? And you're like, hey, I got problems. I said, okay, we're super busy or whatever I told you, but I'll figure it out. And so we got it in, see what's going on, and then we'll make the repairs from there.
Right, because I was right down the road from the station. And for like the split second, I thought maybe I should just take it to the station, let it cool down, and then we can take it to the shop tomorrow or call it in. But I'm really glad that we just went ahead and just completely bypassed that and got it to the shop, because at least we know, because it was unsafe to drive.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really glad that we didn't just go ahead and take that extra step of letting it set and then maybe not getting it to the right hands for a couple days and then having even more problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other thing with that is there's a lot of times when I have calls like that, and I know, Macy, you see this quite a little bit, you don't know over the phone what's going on. So my go-to is bring it by. We'll do some initial, just basic check to see whether it's safe to drive or it's not safe to drive. In your case, not safe to drive. But there's a lot of times where people will come in and it's something minor and we can say, hey, yep, we'll set you an appointment. It's no big deal. It's not going to leave you stuck. It's not going to leave you stranded. But I can't do that over the phone, no matter how good I am.
Yeah.
And so I had another shop owner actually tell me this years ago, had somebody call, said, hey, I've got a check engine light on. Is that a big deal? They said no, set them appointment, etc. Well, it wasn't a check engine light. It was an oil light. And because they got bad information over the phone, they said, no, we'll see you next week from Tuesday, whatever it is. Well, there's no oil in it, and it blew up the vehicle. Ooh. And so the customer, I get it, is frustrated and mad, but they didn't give the right information, probably because they didn't know any better. There's no blame anywhere. But my main go-to when somebody calls me and there's something weird going on is I need to at least see it so I can get a base checkout done on it. Even if I'm super busy and I don't know that there was barely a place to park in the parking lot when you guys got there.
I got the last parking spot.
Yeah. So we were able to do just a basic checkout real quick. We deemed this one not, but there's times where it's like, hey, yeah, it's good. You know, go on about your day. But that's the normal procedure that you should do, whether A1 takes care of your cars or whoever. You need to have that relationship with that person that even though they don't have time, because in reality, we were booked solid and then some, but such a strong relationship, you understand kind of what's going on that, you know, hey, we need to check it before we just say, hey, you're fine, go on about your day. That should be how the procedure's done, in my opinion. Does that sound pretty accurate, Mace?
Absolutely. Brakes making a noise, exhaust that has just all of a sudden gotten really loud.
Yep.
Or if a check engine light's popped on, absolutely stop by and let us at least see if it's something that can wait for a proper appointment, or do you need to stop driving this thing?
Yeah, we need to know whether
all of that takes priority. Yeah. And
so, Mace, while we're kind of talking about brakes here, how often do you see a lot of collateral or extra parts damaged because they drove it too long with brakes making noise?
Yeah. Every time I've had to price calipers and hoses and flushes and all that, it's literally because it's been dragging.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused a heat issue. And here we are. I have one in there right now.
Well, and if we or somebody would have caught that early and that hadn't happened, now, your case, it just kind of came out of the blue. But there's a lot of times where it starts making a little noise, you know, just like a little something. And people turn up the radio or they don't pay attention. And then a week or two goes by to your earlier point of putting it off. Oh, I'll put it off till I get paid. And then they've damaged $400 or $500 or $1,000 more.
Easily $1,000.
Of parts that could have been reconditioned, refurbished, reused, that we wouldn't have had to. because it had been driven so long in a bad shape or bad condition, if you will. And I hate that, you know. I don't like having to put a bunch more parts on the car just because I like hanging parts. But the collateral damage is really what I talk about quite often, that, man, if you keep driving it when it's doing something it doesn't normally do, it's going to cost you more the longer you drive it.
Well, and that's why the manufacturers have made them make that mm-hmm. noise. It's a little piece of metal in there that becomes obnoxious.
Yep. Sounds like a trash truck.
It's just an annoying noise, and that's your car telling you, go see a mechanic.
Yes. And if you don't, it doesn't make it any cheaper fixing the parts that, you know, were damaged as well.
Noises do not get better on their own.
They don't. I would love to, you know, we've all watched the old Stephen King. I think it was Stephen King, Christine, the old movie that fixed itself. So far, I've yet to see that. I've yet to see a self-healing car, which would be cool. Don't get me wrong. It's not in the cards for anybody out there. So as I know we need to probably step into a break here in just a minute. We're going to talk about AC when we come back. You had a crazy story happen, didn't you?
I did. That should never have happened.
And we were able to get a dear friend, their vehicle fixed, who travels the country, which is why we don't always work on it. But we were able to get that fixed and not have to send him back to where he was having problems. But we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to step into a break. We're going to talk about AC when we come back.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah Dustin and Miss Macy today. So Sarah and I talk about AC work a lot this time of year.
Yes, we do. Don't use Fix in a Can.
That's right. Yes. The sealer or stop leak. Those are all bad words. Bad words. Have you had any of those this year, Macy, call you and say, hey, I tried to fix my own AC. I put this Wichita-Digi in a can in there, and it's still broke.
If they will bring me the can and let me see what they put in mm-hmm. there, I might potentially work on it. If I see that it has sealant in it, we're done.
Yep. The only fix there is to replace the entire AC system, which is pricey. They're not giving any of that equipment away.
No.
Nor is it always super easy. Like, we have to disassemble a tremendous amount of the car to replace an entire AC system.
Well, the newer AC systems have an expansion valve that's buried in the dash. It's usually somewhere between 3 and 4 hours to pull that thing out, and it's a filter.
Yep, pretty much.
Condensers are no longer flushable.
Nope.
You must replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So when that sealer gets in everything, mm-hmm. you get to replace all those parts.
And you cannot get it out
other
than the amount that it sucks into our AC machine and damages our piece of equipment.
And then nobody else is getting AC mm-hmm. that day either.
Yeah. So don't be a bad neighbor and mess with, you know, your seal or fix it in a can. But we have a dear customer, a dear friend, bear I say. If he called and said, hey, I need help moving, I would show up with a truck and a trailer and help that man move.
Absolutely. 100 times out of 100.
I think so. So can you give us your version of kind of what you witnessed? Another facility had done some AC service in another state. Kind of, how'd we get here? What happened?
So he bounces between South Dakota and Georgia. He's got family in Georgia, but he actually lives in South Dakota, and we're kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he had taken his 05 Buick in for
beautiful car
air conditioning service in Georgia, and they replaced a compressor. And a month later, he didn't have air conditioning again.
Mm-hmm. Probably didn't have very good air conditioning to begin with, I would assume.
I didn't ask him about that. So he took it back. He was still in Georgia at the time, and they put a second compressor on it. And he took off for South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
It made it 2 weeks. And he stopped and saw me. And I said, we can absolutely fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, the first compressor had locked up, and when this happens, it throws shavings into the system that go through the system if it's not flushed out and wipe out the second or third compressor.
Yeah. And this is why, over the years, Macy, you and I have both seen an evolution in our company. We talked about that earlier. We have processes and procedures that are best practices, if you will, of how this work should be done. So hopefully we fix it right the first time. And B, we get as much, if not more, life out of the service that we did as they did when the car was brand new. Does that sound fair? Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, Sarah, we sent you the Orifice tubes photo of the one we took out and a new one.
Yeah.
Is if there's a way that we'll try and post those to our website or wherever.
I'll put them up at ksgf.com under the podcast section for today's show so you can see it. And man, it is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what an orifice tube is, but I know that the second photo is not supposed to look like that.
Right. So we've got obviously very skilled technicians. 40 plus year veteran was the one that was taking care of that one. How did he kind of figure out what was going on?
Well, I get this phone call a lot, how much to replace my compressor. Mm-hmm. And it kind of depends on why it died.
Yes.
And if it locked up, there is no way I can just put a compressor on that.
No.
And fix your problem.
And that's essentially what they did at this other facility.
Exactly. The piece that is the orifice tube is a small inline filter. It's mm-hmm. a whopping $3.50 part.
Not super difficult to service.
It takes about 15 minutes to service. Mm-hmm. And if they had just looked at that.
Which is what they should have done.
To begin with. Yes. If they'd have looked at that, they would have seen the condition of that and understood why it kept eating compressors.
Mm-hmm. And it's this roller coaster. And instead of, and I'll just be real with you guys, we get comebacks as well. Sometimes we'll work on something and whatever reason doesn't work out. When it comes back, it's almost an investigation, if you will, from our side of it, of why did I get a repeat failure? Was it a poor quality part? Did I not find the root cause? And instead of this facility diving into what was going on with this, they thought, we'll just throw another compressor at it. So they got on this like foolish roller coaster. And unfortunately, our dear friend was, going for a ride, I guess.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate. So we ended up replacing that, of course, that orifice tube. Mm-hmm. The shavings have gotten into one of the lines, which have a pair of mufflers on them. Those cannot be flushed out.
That's right.
We were able to flush out the condenser because it's not one of the new style parallel flow and flush all the lines three times, multiple times.
Extensive.
Until we no longer saw any metal in the shaving. Put it back together. He has air conditioning.
Well, and I talked to the tech that had done the service on it. And apparently so much metal had been pumped through the system, it was almost a very fine slurry.
They said it looked like mercury running through the fluid.
Because it was such a fine metallic, which is now an abrasive that goes under a lot of pressure under a compressor. There's times under a real hot day I'll see 350, 400 is excessive PSI of head pressure on the high side of a AC system when we've got a lot of heat load out there. And that fine slurry of metal in there is just going to basically erode the system from the inside out. And so we took and spent a tremendous amount of care trying to clean up the mess that had been previously happened. So we have the best chance for a long service life with this new AC system that's on there.
And this particular customer is one of those that just fixed my car. I don't care what it costs. And so if they had just done their due diligence on the first try, there would not have been a second try.
My favorite thing, though, as well about this type of customer, but this one in general, is he pays very close attention to his vehicles. He's not one that lets things go. Oh, it'll be okay. And when something's weird, he notices and he gets it in and gets it taken care of if he doesn't do it on his own. Very meticulous at the care that's given to his anything that I've ever seen that he's had, honestly. So this was not like a clapped out hunk of junk that, hadn't been cared for. This thing had been meticulously cared for.
And he's not interested in the patch fix. He is always interested in the correct fix.
Mm-hmm. And we've been able to get, quite a bit of mileage out of his vehicles. He told me years ago, and I'd be curious if this is still true, he has a beautiful, I want to say it's an 01 to 03 F-350, four-door dually, four-wheel drive. Well, I know he still has it, but this was the story that he told me years ago when I was servicing it, is three of them, him and two others, bought similar trucks at the same time, and they're all Fords. And the other two guys hadn't taken care of it like he does. And they had all gone through a transmission each. accept him because he had cared for and serviced the system. So he's also done a lot of towing with that rig. So I'd be interested to see whether, you know, he's still running the original transmission in that truck or if he's got a replacement one in there. But my point is because of the extra care that he had given, you know, versus, you know, a good case study or people that didn't, he could see the difference that, hey, just a little basic maintenance and service goes so far to not have catastrophic breakdowns out there on the road.
Absolutely. And when you're one of those people that tow on a regular basis, that that life of your fluids uh-huh. that are affected by that is literally cut in half.
Oh, yeah.
So you're looking at double the maintenance, mm-hmm. but double the maintenance over 300,000 miles still cheaper than a transmission yeah. or a differential.
Absolutely. And I do a tremendous amount of towing as well, and I try to subscribe or take my own medicine, if you will. But time's flying. We got to take another break. We're going to wrap this up in a pretty little bow right after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah Dustin and Miss Macy, our special guest today. Thank you for coming on the show, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing your experiences. So, you know, I kind of boil problems down to how we got there. You know, we got problems. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I got to figure out how we got there. But we were able to take care of this one. I want to shift gears just a little bit for the last little bit, Sarah. Please, you know, I want to know what you all think.
Of course.
We do a lot of shows about the new generation coming up.
Yep.
And, you know, the baby boomers are retiring. They've put their time in. And at some point in time, I would hope to retire as well. I'm going to have my time in there, but I got a long ways to go. I think the reason that this happened is whatever facility had lack of skilled technicians, if you want to call them mechanics, whatever. And that's how we got in this boat. And at different points in time, years ago, I would say we had a lack of skill. We have an amazing amount of skill at this point in time.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of it. Sarah, you've been in most of our stores. We got some...
Yep, I know almost everybody.
We got and some pipe hitters.
I mean, there's
some gangsters in there. Get it done.
Gangsters.
I'm very proud to come to work, you know, and if people... I wear my uniform almost all the time. And, you know, there's times where people will be like, hey, what's going on? Or, hey, I had my car worked on there. If I wasn't proud of where I worked, I obviously would not live in this uniform that I am all the time. But that's just the cards that I've got, and I'm very proud to be able to walk around in that. I recently had a young friend of my son. I've got a 14-year-old, and, you know, he lives with me half the time and with his mom, so I don't always have his help there. And I needed some stuff done around the house. And, you know, we've talked for years about the young folks coming in that their work ethic isn't very good. They're not experienced. This young man worked like circles, and I made me feel a little bit old. I can't do what I used to, but it really gave me a lot of that kind of warm and fuzzy feeling a little bit to see that there still are folks that are being raised right. They still have common sense, which unfortunately is not common anymore, and or horse sense, if you will. And they don't mind a good hard day's work for a decent day's pay or good. Hopefully he thought it was good. I tried to pay him as much as I could because I'd like him to come back. But the point of this whole thing is, Mace, you've watched, and Sarah as well, you've seen, you know, the baby boomers that have dominated the work or labor pool, if you will. What do you think the next 10 years is going to bring? Either one of you. What are you expecting?
I'm seeing this now, even out of us Gen X. We've always been that generation, like the boomers, that will literally destroy our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing more with the millennials and the Gen Z is they've learned to work smarter,
yeah.
not harder. And so they are accomplishing tasks that you and I would have killed ourselves
uh-huh.
for. And they found a shortcut that works.
Yep.
And it's not really a shortcut. It's they're working smarter, not harder.
Better tools or equipment
Better
or
tools,
training.
Yeah, training, you name it. But they've learned not to destroy themselves
yeah.
in the process. And it's not that they're lazy. It's that they have figured the chink in the mm-hmm. armor of the system. And they're actually a smart generation.
Oh, yeah. What do you think, Sarah?
Well, as being a part of that generation, I can agree to that. But I think that there is a lot of my generation that doesn't necessarily want to work as hard. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few. And you hear this on media and you see that oftentimes those ones are the loudest while the rest of us are too busy actually working to contribute to that conversation.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yes. But there's quite a few that want things handed to them, but don't let those overshadow us, or don't let that make a stereotype, if you will, mm-hmm. because there are so many of us that take pride in what we do. We want to work hard. We want to retire early, and we want to make the most of what we do every day.
Well, and I get some opportunities every once in a while where we do find, you know, that millennial or, you know, Gen Z, I think is that the one after the millennial? Yeah. You know, we've got some younger folks that are extremely talented. They're more rare, I think, than they used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, being somebody that is somewhat younger, I'm not quite as young as I once was, but I've always had this mindset that if I really bring it, especially when I'm young, hopefully that'll pay off when I'm a little bit older. And I believe that it has. But that same mindset is that as things shrink, more opportunity is created. So the millennials and the Gen Z folks, if you are really talented, whatever you do, this doesn't necessarily have to just be about auto mechanics, could be communication, such as what you've done. I've watched you do very well in this industry.
Thank you.
And you have created your own opportunities because of what you're able to do, because people can, you know, trust that, hey, if a task needs to happen, you're going to take care of it, bam. And if not, you're going to figure out how to overcome that first little hurdle and not just quit and fold up like a cheap tent. And so if you are a young person getting into the trades or whatever it is, just as a general laborer, I mean, some of those union laborers are doing really well for themselves and they earn every dollar they get. I'm not taking anything away from that. You know, that somebody that'll show up, can overcome a little bit of adversity, will go so much farther than the person that's still sitting on their couch and, you know, wanting everything handed to them. And the opportunities are endless at this point. I realize everybody gets focused on some of the negatives of the world, and we got plenty of that to focus on. But this was something that kind of came up as I, you know, was able to work with a young man who, man, he took direction. Even if direction wasn't there, he was able to figure out and continue working of his own accord without somebody, hey, do this, do that, don't do that. It was just a really refreshing experience, if you will, that it wasn't hand-holding to get things done. And that is going to be its own ticket for success, regardless of what he ends up doing later in life.
Yeah, he'll be able to go anywhere with that work ethic.
And that's really, unfortunately, probably like 80% of what it takes to be successful is just come prepared, show up, don't be on your TikTok and your phone the whole time. I don't think I saw his phone out, I don't think one time until it was quitting time and he needed a ride to come get him. And the rest of it, man, it was just, and we have that within the company as well. You know, I think of Eddie. Eddie's one of my most favorite young folks. You haven't got, I don't think, to meet Steven, but I've got a young tech that reminds me so much of him down in Arkansas, who's probably in his early 20s. Got another young tech, Nathan, down there as well, Austin, you know. So the main point of this whole segment here is if you're getting into the world and you're a young person, man or woman, I don't care. There's opportunity. You know, you are a great example of that. Lois, lady you and I have both worked for our whole career, lady runs the company.
Started where I started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point as well. Work ethic, showed up, overcome adversity. Boom. Options are endless at that point in time. And that, you know, when I was a kid, everybody put college, college, college on the, if you don't go to college, you're not going to be successful. And I'm not putting college down at all. But regardless of what it is you do, you had better be in it with both feet, I guess is my biggest point. If you're like a Walmart bag in the wind and just, oh, you know, today I want to be an oil rig worker and tomorrow I'm going to sell cars and next week I'm going to be a pharmacist or whatever, you know, we only have so much bandwidth or so much to give to the world. And you had better be intentional with what it is you're doing.
Well, and I see a lot of the younger millennials and the older Gen Zs that of
they were kind of raised in a generation of instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And so when they hire on, they don't understand why they can't make the same amount of money as the guy who's been there for 35 yeah. years, because he hasn't earned it yet.
Yeah. As well as they lean, or hopefully I understood it, that when I got on, I was going to get the crappy work.
You always start at the bottom. That's the way it works.
Well, as well as if I want help from that veteran person, I had better do something to earn a little bit of that from them.
Absolutely.
And so I, first many years, and still do to a certain extent, is the crappier the job, the more I wanted it. And it's really kind of sucked, to be honest. But the more I got back out of it, I may have not always got, you know, out in pay, but the experience and the acceleration that I was able to move from apprentice, or, you know, basically the low man on the totem pole, away from that, or through that, or maybe not away from it, but at least to open my horizons up a little bit, that, okay, yeah, I was fixing everybody's comeback that would come in the shop. But I learned what not to do. So I got something out of that. And typically, a lot of times, comebacks are not pay work. And in this instance, the experience was what I was getting paid.
It made you a better technician.
And it did it in a very finite amount of time. Absolutely. When I started here, they told me they told me 2 years before I would be a full production technician. And in 6 months, they're like, okay, training wheels are off, you're ready to go. And I didn't necessarily have the ability to wait 2 years in order to be a technician. Not everybody's going to do that same way. Some people, it may be 4 years, and that's cool too, but have realistic expectations that whatever I put into this is what I'm going to get out of it.
Exactly.
So if I'm hiding in the corner, you know, trying to hide away from work or experience or difficult situations, I'm going to be that 4 year, maybe forever guy. You think that's crazy?
No, and yeah. I think that the lower you start and kind of the crappier parts of your job that you don't like, it's kind of that the cooler or the better success story, if yeah. you will.
Definitely. I had worked for a family-owned company at one point in time before I came to work at A1, and it was a very negative experience because the folks that were the shot callers, if you will, they hadn't earned their positions. They had their positions because their name was on the front of the building. Mm. And being somebody that my name obviously wasn't on the front of the building, not only did you get your work, but you got their work as well. And then when they didn't do their work, you got the chewing over it. And so that was another experience that I got to learn that, you know, if your name's not on the front of the building, it's really hard to be part of that team. And in that instance, you know, they didn't invest in those people as well. So I'm glad I started, you know, sweeping the floors and taking out the trash. I still do that to this day, but
I'm really proud of the investment that this company has made in all of its people, mm-hmm. whether it be service advisors at the desk or technical training for our techs, and even bringing our older techs who don't want to yes. learn this stuff.
Yes.
Troy's a good example of that. He has really stepped up to the plate in becoming a really good diagnostics uh-huh. guy, where 10 years ago, he's like, nope, not doing yep. that.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is an amazing point.
Well, believe it or not, but we are out of show. So if you are out there in radio land, you have a question or comment for us, give us a text on that text line, 417-447-5743, or you can reach out to us on our social media. That's at 1041KSGF. Dustin, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
Yes,
you Macy, will. Thank you for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, stay safe out there. Bye.
See ya.